In the beginning of Parshas Lech Lecha, we read that HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands Avraham Avinu he should move to Eretz Yisrael and live there. So the question is this a Hayroa Shoah, only a mitzvah that was given to Avraham Avinu, or does it apply to us, Bizman Hazer? So the Mishnah in the end of Subis writes clearly that the din applies even Bizman Hazer. The Mishnah has at least Bizman HaTanoim. It applied Bizman HaTanoim. Mishnah says that if the husband and the wife have a dispute, and one insists they want to move to Eretz Yisrael, the other one wants to remain behind the Chutz Lo'aretz, and this causes them to break up the marriage, so the one who wants to insist on going to Eretz Yisrael has the Gerech Tataina, and if it's the wife who wants to stay back behind, so it's considered as if she ruined the marriage, and whenever the wife is responsible for ruining the marriage, then she loses her Ksuba. So it's on this Mishnah, in the very end of Ksuba, the last Mishnah, that the Gemara quotes the whole discussion of the mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. And this is all quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. All the details come in the Gemara there. I had an aunt and an uncle, they both passed away already at a ripe old age. I had an aunt and an uncle that when they got married, my grandparents bought them a shas. My uncle had learned in the yeshiva. He was so indebted to the yeshiva, he named one of his sons Yitzchak Hanan. Yitzchak Hanan used to teach here in the yeshiva, he used to teach English. And when they got married, so my uncle was learned, he was a musmach in the yeshiva, he was a practicing rabbi for many years. So he and his wife both signed on the first page in Gemara Ksuvis, on the blank page before the Shavlat, that they're going to move to Eretz Yisrael within the first 5 years after their marriage, which they did. They moved to Eretz Yisrael. Then Rabbi Lifshitz visited them. He was on Kibbutz Sar. Rabbi Lifshitz visited them. And Rabbi Lifshitz said, you're not allowed to be here. You have to go back to America, go back into the rabbinate. He went back to America, went back to Eretz Yisrael many times, back and forth, back and forth. And the last years of their life, they did live in Eretz Yisrael. They both passed away in Eretz Yisrael. So that's the whole discussion of the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, is in connection with this mission at the very end of Ksubis. Rab Zevin has a sefer, which used to be popular years ago, where he, Sipuri Hasidim, where he quotes a story about the Baal Shem Tov on Parshas Pinchas. On Parshas Pinchas, the Torah says that a census was taken of the Jewish people, and it says how many members there were in each one of the Shvatim. Then it says, Le'ele techalek haaretz, when Yeshua ben Nun will cross over the Yarden with the Jewish people, Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't permitted to cross over, and Yeshua ben Nun will cross over, so he has to do, has to conquer the land, then he has to divide the land, Shevi Shekosha, Shevi Shechilku, so they had to divide the land amongst all the people, so whoever was above the age of 20 was entitled to get a share in Eretz Yisrael, so that's what it says in Chumash, Le'ele techalek haaretz. These people who are included in the census, they're going to be zeicha to a share in Eretz Yisrael. So the story is told that the Baal Shem Tov would often travel with his entourage to different places for Shabbos in the middle of the week. It's strange why they would always be traveling. So on one occasion, they traveled somewhere and they stayed at an inn, and it happened that there was a chasana in that inn. So the next morning, when all the mechatonim were going home, so there was a bird chirping in a tree, and the bird was chirping in front of the Chasen Kala. So the Baal Shem Tov said to his followers, do you know what the bird is saying? So they don't know the bird's language. So they said, the bird is saying, La'ele techalek ha'aretz. They didn't understand what does it have to do with anything. It wasn't even the Parshas HaShavua. Why should the bird be chirping, La'ele techalek ha'aretz? So many, many years later, this couple had children and grandchildren, and they all lived in Europe. And the husband is Arayin Hafala Mishigas, he wants to go on Aliyah, he's going to move to Eretz Yisrael. So the wife said, well, are you crazy to leave all the children and grandchildren? I'm going to stay behind. So he divorced her, he divorced his wife. So then the Talmidim of the Baal Shem Tov understood what he meant, La'ela techalei karetz. Eretz Yisrael is going to cause this Chas and Kala to get divorced. La'ela techalei karetz. The Pashim Shat and the Pashim means all the people who are above the age of 20 who were included in the census are going to get a share in Eretz Yisrael. Chalukas Haaretz. But over here, the bird was chirping. That's what the Baal Shem Tov said. This couple is going to get broken up because of the issue of Aliyah, because of living in Eretz Yisrael. There is a very interesting tshuva written by Rav Shlomo Kluger. Shlomo Kluger wrote very long tshuvas, but he had a grandson who was named Rav Shlomo Kluger, he had passed away, and the grandson was born after he died. So the grandson was kind to us, and he abridged over 1,000 tshuvas of Rav Shlomi Kluger, and you have in a small sefer 1,200 tshuvas called Ha'elef L'chol Shlomo, over 1,000 tshuvas. Each tshuva only consists of one or two paragraphs, and the original tshuvas and the Tuv Talmud Das, they go on and on, pages and pages. So you have to have a lot of patience, and you have to read and read to see what he has to say. So the grandson abridged many, many tshuvas. So one of the abridged tshuvas in Ha'elef L'chol Shlomo goes like this. There was a couple who lived in Europe, and the husband was never matzliach in parnasa. He tried one parnasa, another parnasa, nothing ever worked. So someone suggested, maybe go to Eretz Yisrael and do something over there, go into a new field. So he said, okay, he's going to try. So he said, he wants his wife to come along. So she said, no, what are you, crazy? All the children, all the grandchildren live over here, like the story with the Baal Shem Tov. So the husband says, I'm going to divorce you, I'm not going to pay you ksuba, as it says in the Mishnah, that if the wife doesn't want to go along, so the husband has the right to divorce and not to take ksuba. So Rav Shlomo Kluger said, wrong. He said, that Mishnah only applies when the husband is interested in going to Eretz Yisrael l'shma. When you want to do Aliyah l'shma, then you have a right to divorce your wife and not take ksuba. But lo'olam, it's an aveira to divorce your wife. You got married, you said, I'm going to treat my wife with dignity and respect and so on. All of a sudden, I'm going to divorce her against her wishes. So that's really an avera to be megarish. There's a chem, the Rabbeinu Gershon. But even before the Rabbeinu Gershon came on the scene, it's not proper, it's not permissible. It's an avera deraisa. Rabbeinu Gershon just added a curse. The guy should drop dead. Whoever does it, get bal korcha. But it certainly is an avera deraisa to mistreat his wife, to divorce your wife without her consent. So the only time we permit you to do this Aveira is if the Aveira is done Lishma. If you want to go to Eretz Yisrael for the Lishma, Lishem, the Mitzvah of Aliyah. But if you're going to Eretz Yisrael for Parnasa purposes, all along when he thought he was going to make a Parnasa in Poland, he stayed behind. Now he wants to go not Lishem, Mitzvah, Aliyah. He wants to go Lishem, Parnasa. So he has no right to divorce his wife without paying the Ksuba. He want to get divorced. He got to pay. It's based on the Mishnah, based on the Gemara and Yevam, is Daf Lamed Tes on the base. Where the Gemara has a machlokes hatanoim, we know there is a mitzvah of yibum, and in the Chumash you get the impression the mitzvah is yibum koydemis and the mitzvah is chalitza. If it's within reason, so the yavam should marry the yavama, he shouldn't do chalitza. So we today don't permit yibum. We insist everybody has to do chalitza. Why? Because the Gemara quotes a dispute between Abba Shaul and the other tanoim, and we paskan like Abba Shaul, the psak went back and forth. And the Ashkenazim followed the Psak of Abba Shaul that we only permit Yibum Li'olam when the Yavam marries the Yavama. He's in violation of an Isakaris. Eshesach is an Isakaris. If a Makkah Mitzvah Yibum, it's permissible. So Abba Shaul says it's only permissible to violate the Easter of Eshesach if he's doing the Yibum Lishmo. If she's good looking and he's going to do Yibum because she's good looking or because she's wealthy or because of the family name or whatever, big Ichas or something, and otherwise we'd never have done Yibum, then we wouldn't permit him to do the Yibum. He's only allowed to do the Yibum Lishma. So Bizman Azeh, we are all concerned that maybe he's doing the Yibum Shalo Lishma. So that's why we never permit the Yibum. So Shlomo Kluger's Psak is based on that Gemara by Abba Shaul. The Din by Abba Shaul we assume is only Midirabbanon. That Din Abba Shaul says that the Yibum is only Mater, the Yisr Eshesach, if he's doing the Yibum Lishma. If he's only performing the Yibum because she's wealthier, because she's good looking, because of the big Yichus or whatever, L'shem Yishus, L'shem Yofi, L'shem Noi, L'shem Momen, so we don't permit it. So Rabbi Chaim Moshe has a tshuva where he, and Achiezer, where he insists that that's only Midir Rabbanon, because Ben HaTorah, Eshesach is Hutra, the Mokka Mitzvah is Yibum, it's Hutra. But over here, it's not the husband wants to divorce his wife. It's not Hutra. Here it's the Chuyah. So whenever you want to do a mitzvah, and you want your mitzvah should be so powerful that it should permit you to do an Aveira, so that's only if you're doing the mitzvah Lishma. If you do the mitzvah Shalom Lishma, then it's not Hutra. What is the explanation of this Mishnah? Let's get back to the Mishnah. If the couple have a dispute, where the one of them wants to go to Eretz Yisrael, the other one wants to stay behind, so the Mishnah says the one who wants to go to Eretz Yisrael has the Gerechta Taina. So in the third of the Marmekoimus, I quote, the Tshuva, Lei Bari is a collection of Tshuvas by Dayan Grosnas. He used to be a Dayan in London for many years, then he moved to Eretz Yisrael. He passed away already quite a few years ago, 10, 15 years ago. So he learned Barabarach there. He learned He learned in Radin together with Rabbi Gerelik. They were friendly. And with Dr. Belkin, same time. So he also learned Barah Baruch there. We all used to learn, float around from one yeshiva to the other, to the other. Learn in various yeshivas. So he quotes in his tshuva, in Leiv Aryeh, he quotes, Rav Baruch Beh gave the Pashup Pshat in the Mishnah, and I elaborate upon it in the fourth of the Marmukhanda, that's from my Sefer Gina Segos. So it seems to be like this. Let's say the husband and the wife live in New York. And then they decide they want to leave New York. So one of them wants to live in Paris, one of them wants to live in London. So each one has one vote. It's like a shutvis. Each one has one vote. There's only one wife to a customer. So it's one vote against. If they would have, let's say the fellow would have two wives, and the whole family wants to be together, and two wives want to move to London, the husband wants to move to Paris, and Mustam is 2-1. The din is, whenever you have a shutvis, it says in Shulchan Aruch, it says in Chayshe Mishpat, quoting from a Tosefta, whenever you have a shutvis and they have a dispute how to run the business, so you follow Rov. Whatever the majority of the shareholders say, you follow Rov. And the Vilna Gaon says, what's the mocker for that Tosefta? The mocker is the pasuk in Mishpatim, Acheram Lahatus. The original pasuk Acheram Lahatus is talking about a bezi, but there's a split vote in a bezi. So the Vilna Gaon says, the pasuk Acheram Lahatus applies also to a shutvis. Whenever there's a dispute among the shutvim, so you follow the majority opinion. So the same over here. If the husband would have two wives, Bizman HaTanayim, that was very rare. It was permissible to have two wives, but we have Dinim and Mishnayis, the end of the second pair of the Yevamas, where the assumption is that it's very unusual that a man should be married to two wives. Normal was that the person only married one to a customer. So if a man would have two wives, and the two wives want to move to Paris, and the husband wants to move to London, so it's a vote 2-1, so the two wives would beat out the husband. Or if the husband and one wife want to move to one city and the other wife wants to move to a different city, so they're all shutvim together in the marriage, so 2-1 would win. But under normal circumstances, it's a 1-1. So one wants to move one city, one must move. So you got to figure out a pshara. But if they're disputing, one wants to move to Eretz Yisrael, one wants to move, one wants to stay in Chutz Laretz, so even though it's 1-1 and you don't have a rive, so that's what the Mishnah says, that the one who wants to move to Eretz Yisrael has the gerech betayin, because that's a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. And we have dinim and shulchan aruch like that. Let's say you have a community, and all the people who live in the community have the status of shutfis. It says in Chayshe Mishpat, all the people who live in the community have the status of shutfis. So some of them want to build a shul, and others say, no, we can float around. Friday night we'll daven by him, Shabbos morning we'll daven over there, Mincha will daven over there. So it says in the Shulchan Aruch, based on the Gemara, so let's say some want to spend money to build a mikveh, and others don't want to build a mikveh, they'll travel 15 minutes to the other city. What are you going to do Shabbos? So they'll wait till Matzoi Shabbos. They don't need a mikveh for Shabbos the other, they don't want to spend so much money. So it says in Shulchan Aruch that the miut can be kai for the rabbin. Normally you follow the rife, whatever. They want to build the schools, they want to build the offices or something. So whatever the rabbin say, all the people who live in the city have the status of a shutfis. So you say, Achiram Lahatas. But if it's a dispute, and the miut have the gerechta time, and they want to build a shul, they want to build a mikveh, they want to hire a rabbi, and the rov don't want to, they want to hire a bal tefillah, and the rov don't want to, they want to be cheap, they want to save money. So whoever has the gerechta time wins, even though he's not the rov. So that's what this Mishnah says in the end of Ksuvah, that the spouse who wants to move to Eretz Yisrael has the gerechta time, and even though they don't have the rov, the one who has the gerechta time wins. I was saying this over in Eretz Yisrael once at a conference of Dayanim. So someone started to scream out, so when you have elections, and then this party in the government wants to give away territory to the Arabs, and the others don't want us to the Gerech Tataina. So I didn't say anything. That's what I had in mind. I didn't say a word. So they started, the Rabbanim started fighting with each other. Yes, no, yes, no. I didn't say anything. My message came across. The Pashtus is, that's what it says in the Halacha. Whoever has the gerech, the time, let's say, it says in Shulchan Aruch, the miut want to make an Erev, and the rov don't want to make an Erev. So if it's a location where you're permitted to make an Erev, so the miut can be kai for the rabbim to pay to put up an Erev. If you can't put up an Erev, it's nisht. But if it's a location where an Erev is allowed, so the miut has the gerech, the time, so the miut can be kai for the rabbim to pay for the Erev. So that's what Dayan Grosnas quotes from Baruch there. If the wife wants to stay behind in Chutz Laretz, the husband wants to go to Eretz Yisrael, she loses the ksuba. It's not as a punishment because of the fact that she's doing an aveira. if the wife decides she doesn't want to be Shemesh Shabbos, the wife decides she doesn't want to go to Shul anymore, she doesn't want to daven anymore, the husband wants the divorce, so he has to pay a ksuba. You don't penalize the wife because she's not keeping mitzvahs. The only time the wife loses the ksuba is if she's responsible for ruining the marriage. She doesn't want to keep Shabbos, so you want to have a religious wife, so that's your decision. So you're ruining the marriage. You want to have a wife who davens all the time, so that's your decision. So you want to divorce your wife, you got to pay. The Mishnah has a few exceptions to the rule. Let's say the woman doesn't want to have any children. So that's self-understood, that marriage means to have children, unless they're made up in advance. Let's say if they got married, they decided they're not going to have any children. Then the husband changes his mind, wants to have children. So then it's not fair. So then he wants to divorce his wife, so he has to pay ksuba. He's ruining the marriage. But if they didn't discuss it in advance, so we assume a normal marriage is to have children. So the Mishnah has, if the woman doesn't want to have children, the woman doesn't want to go to mikveh. So she loses the ksuba, not because she doesn't want to be observant. The husband can't live with her. Unless they made up in advance, let's say two people not observant got married, and it was understood they're not going to go to mikveh. Then all of a sudden the husband decides to become a Baal Tshuva, and he wants the wife to go to mikveh. She said, well, what are you talking about? When we got married, we lived the first 10 years without mikveh. So then if the husband wants to divorce, he has to pay ksuba. You don't say she's ruining the marriage. That was the condition, that was the understanding of the marriage. Shalekidin, we're going to get and live shalekidin. So the Mishnah only has, she loses the ksuba if it's clear that she's responsible for ruining the marriage. So that's what the Mishnah says. If they have a dispute whether they should move to Eretz Yisrael or not, so the one who wants to move to Eretz Yisrael has the gerechta taina. So if the wife decides she wants to stay behind, so it's considered as if she's ruining the marriage. So the one who ruins the marriage, so in such case, it's not that we penalize her, it's like that, it's not a penalty. That's the halacha. The chiyuv ksuba doesn't exist whenever the wife, the chiyuv ksuba is whenever the husband divorces his wife, he has to pay ksuba. Even no fault. They fell out of love. Not his fault, not her fault. Whenever they get divorced, the husband has to pay ksuba. Unless he can ascertain clearly that it's the fault of the wife that she ruined the marriage. So then she's not entitled to ksuba. So the Mishnah has a quirk of a din. Noderes ve'ena mikayemes. Let's say the wife takes the nedarim and she violates the nedarim. So the Mishnah says, noderes ve'ena mikayemes. She loses the ksuba. Why? If she decides she doesn't want to keep Shabbos, she doesn't want to daven, so the husband wants to divorce, he has to pay ksuba. That's his decision. He wants to have a frumah, he wants to have a religious wife. Why is Nadaris Venim Kayam? So Gemara says, no, because Bavon Nidorim, Vonim Mason. If a person takes Nidorim and he violates the Nidorim, so this may cause the children to die. And having children is understood that that's part of the marriage. So if the wife doesn't want to have children, they didn't discuss it in advance. So we assume a normal marriage is going to have children. The wife decides she doesn't want to have any children. Or the wife is Noderes Veinim Mekayeres, and the Gemara says, Baba Nidorim, Bani Mason. So then it's considered as if she's ruining the marriage, because having children is an integral part of the marriage. So that's why she loses the ksuba. Yeah, what is the source of this din? How did the Tanoim know that the din applies Bisman Hazeh? Maybe it's only a Hayrosha that was given to Avram Avinu, and Ein Lemeidim Yikoyde Matan Torah. The Gemara says many times, a pasuk that's written Koyde Matan Torah doesn't necessarily apply Lacha Matan Torah. So the Ramban is famous for this, the fifth of the Maimonides. Ramban, the Rambam wrote the Sefer HaMitzvos, where he lists off what he considered are the 613 mitzvahs, and he lists off which are the 248 mitzvahs aseh, which are the 365 mitzvahs loisesses. Here and there the Ramban takes issue with the Rambam. He deletes about 16, 17 mitzvah sesei. He has to replace them with other mitzvah sesei. He deletes about 16, 17, 18 mitzvah sloises and has to replace them with others. So this is famous. This is perhaps the most famous of the mitzvah sesei that the Ramban listed that the Rambam forgot. And the Hashmotis and the Minyan HaMitzvahs, mitzvah sesei dalet, that the Ramban says the Rambam forgot to mention the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael. The Ramban thinks that should be counted as a mitzvah. How come the Rambam taka in the mocker of the Ramban? How does he know that there's such a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael, a mitzvah in Torah? He got it from this Mishnah in the end of Ksuvis. Yeah, what is the beer in the Shita of Rambam? How come the Ramam taka doesn't quote Saposik in Chumash? After Matan Torah. Harashtam Misoretz means the Jews should wage war against the Zionists and seize hold of Eretz Yisrael and establish a Jewish government there. And then we should all live in Eretz Yisrael. So how come the Rambam Taka didn't include that mitzvah? So there is a commentary printed, and all the standard editions of the Sefer Mitzvah is printed on the side of the Sefer Mitzvah. So it's called Megillas Esther. It was written by a man, but his mother passed away. His mother's name was Esther. His mother passed away as he was about to go to print. He lived in the 1600s. The Shach quotes from the beginning. Shach lived in the 1600s. The Shach already quotes from the Megillas Esther. So his mother passed away as he was about to go to print, and he wanted to memorialize the mother, so he called the Sefer Al-Shem Imam Megillas Esther. So he always defends the Rambam. The Rambam is always right. All the kashis of the Ramban holds. Like on the bottom of the page in the Mishnah Torah. So you have the Migdaloi, he's always defending. Whenever they arrive at his Masganah, the Rambam is always right. So if you always insist the Rambam is always right. So sometimes you'll be right, sometimes you're going to write Dvar Metelem. So here, the Megillah says insists the Rambam is right, and the reason why the Rambam didn't count the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael is that the Rambam in the first half of the Sefer Mitzvahs gives you the 14 rules and regulations that guide us to determine what belongs in the Sefer Mitzvahs, what doesn't belong. So the Rambam says we don't include Hayro Ashor. A mitzvah that's not Noheges Ledoiris doesn't belong in the Minyan HaMitzvahs. For example, the Jews were commanded in Eretz Mitzrayim on Erev Pesach to knock on the next door neighbor's doors, on the doors of the Nochrim, and to ask for matanis. Basically, so does that apply to Zman HaZeh? On Erev Pesach we knock on the next door neighbor's doors and we ask for matanis. It doesn't apply to Zman HaZeh. It was once in the history of the world. It isn't even a Midas Chassidus today that someone should volunteer as an enemy. So it doesn't apply. There was a Hayro Ashor for 40 years. The mon came down. And they're not allowed to leave over the mon till tomorrow. So the din doesn't apply to the mon is there. Not only because the mon isn't falling down. Even if the mon would fall down in New York, the din wouldn't apply. The din was once in the history of the world for 40 years, and that's all. That's a Hayro Ashor. Moshe Rabbeinu was commanded. The Rambam quotes to Moshe. Haremis matchal ayam uvkoheu. Once in the history of the world, he was commanded to wave his shteken and to cause kriyas yamsim. So that's not included in minyan mitzvahs. It's not a mitzvah hanuheges lidur. So the Megillas Esther suggests that the reason why the Rambam didn't include the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael is because of the Gemara in the end of Ksubis, and that's sugi, the end of Ksubis, that the pasuk appears three times in Shir HaShirim. This is called the Sholosh Shavuos. The Sholosh Shavuos, the pasuk appears three times. Hishbati Eschem in Os Yerushalayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had the Jewish people take an oath, and it's mentioned three times. So the Gemara says there were three Shavuos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had the Jewish people take three oaths, and one of them was that we won't force the issue of establishing a Medina in Eretz Yisrael. So this was a Gemara. Everybody saw the Gemara. Not until the 1600s, when the Megillas Esther had to defend the Rambam, right or wrong. He always defends the Rambam, whether the Rambam is right or Rambam is wrong. He was the first one who took that Gemara as a din. The Gemara said a din, that the Jewish people are not permitted to force the issue of establishing a Medina in Eretz Yisrael. And then years later, the Megillas Esther lived in the 1600s, so years later, the Minkatcha, the early 1900s, when the Zionist movement was picking up in Europe, so the Minkach and the Minchas Aluza was the strongest anti-Zionist that they had. And all the Rabbanim in Hungary were petrified of him, because he would curse everybody. He was always cursing the Tzionim, and cursing the Mizrahi is worse than the Tzionim, cursing the Aguda, they're worse than the Mizrahi, they're such fakers, they claim they're against the Medina, they're not against the Medina. He was always cursing everybody. So all the Rabbanim Hungary were afraid to start up with him. So he was the main anti-Zionist. So he was the one who made the whole tumult that the Megillas Esther quotes that Gemara in the end of Ksubis about the Sholosh Shavuos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had the Jewish people take three Shavuos, and one of the three Shavuos is Shalayala Bachayma. We won't force the issue to establish a Medina Bizman HaZeh. We'll wait till Moshiach comes. The Rishonim, none of the Rishonim quote this Gemara. He said, I gotta tell you, we don't know exactly what it means. So the Megillas Esther is the first one, and after him, there was a long gap from the 1600s to the 1900s, and then the Minchas Aluza picked it up, and then all the Hungarian Rabbanim were tumbling with the Sholosh Shavuos. I mentioned one of the Rabbanim, a young Talmud Chacham put out a Sefer of Shavuos Tshuvos. So he gave me a copy of the Sefer. So I looked in the Mafteach, he has Hilchas Sholosh Shavuos. I was wondering, what's he going to say about Hilchas Sholosh Shavuos? I turned to that first. He had the dinim of the 3 weeks, the drive off. Shlosha Shavuos. Bein Amtzarim. You don't call it Shalosh Shavuos. Shalosh Shavuos is a technical term. Means the 3 oaths. The 3 weeks is called Shlosha Shavuos. And traditionally it's called Bein Amtzarim. You don't call it, he didn't know Hebrew. So he called it Hilcha Shalosh Shavuos. So the Megillas Esther defends the Rambam. The reason why the Rambam didn't count the mitzvah is because the mitzvah doesn't apply Bizman Hazeh. As Mashiach Bet Kum and the mitzvah will apply again. So since it doesn't apply Bizman Hazeh, that's called the mitzvah Shein and the Heges Lidurus. The Avnei Nezer was a Chassidus Rebbe, great Goyim, died about 100 years ago. Sachat Shavu Rebbe, so the Avnei Nezer was asked the Shaila as a long tshuva, Yeridei Chelik Beisim and Tof Nun Dalet, very famous tshuva. He was a Chassidus Rebbe, so the way they worded the Shaila was, is there a mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael Bizman Hazeh? And Imti Mitzalayim, that there is, how come the Gdolei HaChassidus never moved to Eretz Yisrael? So he's going to have to explain. So the first half of the tshuva, he said, absolutely, yes, there is a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael Bizman Hazeh. Either Tosfos writes on that daf in Ksubis, here number 6 in the Ma'amar Kaimis. Tosfos quotes in the name of Rav Chaim Kohen, that the mitzvah to go to Eretz Yisrael doesn't apply to Zman Hazeh because of 2 reasons. Because Hakonas Hadrachim is so dangerous to go on the highways, he can get killed. And secondly, it's difficult to preserve the mitzvahs Hatluyas Ba'aretz. So the Pischei Tshuva already writes, Pischei Tshuva in number 8 of the Ma'amar Kaimis, there's a long Pischei Tshuva, the first half of that Pischei Tshuva, he says that that doesn't apply to Zman Hazeh. And Avnei Nezer writes like that, number 7 of the Ma'amar Kaimis, in the Tov Nun Dalet. It's a long tshuva, Tov Nun Dalet, so every paragraph has a different number. So this is paragraph, what is it? Hey, yes. So he writes that there's no sakonas drachim bizman hazeh, and there's no chashash that will violate mitzvah hatliyas ba'aretz. Get a good hashgacha. What's the problem? So there's no excuse why one shouldn't go there. So those 2 reasons that Tosfos gave don't apply bizman hazeh. So the Avnei Nezer comes to the conclusion there is a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael Bizman Hazeh. How come the Gedolei Chassidus didn't go? So he explains why. The Chassidim had to make a parnasa. So if the Tzadikim, if the Chassidish Rebbes would go to Eretz Yisrael, the Chassidim would be happy to send money to Eretz Yisrael to support their Rebbe. So he develops a whole theme that the Ikar mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael is not just to be geographically located in Eretz Yisrael. It means to accomplish something in Eretz Yisrael. A person lives in Eretz Yisrael, he has a farm and he plants. A person, he defends the country. He works on the, he improves the economy. He does something in Eretz Yisrael. If the Chassidus Rebbe would live in Eretz Yisrael, he would have a hashpo on the Chassidim in Eretz Yisrael, that would be wonderful. But the Rebbe should move to Eretz Yisrael, live off of the parnasa that the Chassidim from Chutz Lord send. That's a very incomplete Kiyam HaMitzvah. The complete Kiyam HaMitzvah is when you live in Eretz Yisrael, it's called Yishev Haaretz, not called Yeshiva Be'eretz Yisrael. Yishev Haaretz means to improve Eretz Yisrael, to improve the population. If you have Rabbanim who teach Torah to people in Eretz Yisrael, Chassidish Rebbes who have Hashpor and Chassidim, are people who improve the economy, they do something in Eretz Yisrael. But just today, if a Jew from America retires in Eretz Yisrael, so he's buying food in the store, so he's helping the Jewish economy. 100 years ago, there wasn't a Jewish economy, so Chassidish Rebbe will move to Eretz Yisrael, he'll be supporting the Arab economy. So he's not improving anything in Eretz Yisrael, so that's not called Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. That's the idea. If you look at number 10 of the Ma'amar Kaimis, I have more sections from that Tshuva, so it's a very long Tshuva. So in paragraph Yud Ches, he explains that if the Rebbe will go to Eretz Yisrael to send him the Parnosa from Chutz Lartz, that's only a partial Kiyam HaMitzvah, it's not the full Kiyam HaMitzvah. So let him remain in Chutz Lartz and have a Hashpah on the Balabatim, rather than go to Eretz Yisrael and have an incomplete Kiyam HaMitzvah, have no Hashpah on the Balabatim. And this was so mefursim during the lifetime of the Avnei Nezer that he wrote this tshuva. This tshuva was very famous because other Chassidish Rebbes were pilpulling about it. So number 11 in the Ma'amar Kaimis, you have Rabbi Yosef Engel also was a contemporary. Rabbi Yosef Engel lived in Galicia, so he writes of Shemaita b'shem Godel Echad. He doesn't say whom, but that's the Avnei Nezer, that the mitzvah, this is at the end of Ksubas, and at Gemara, where the Gemara talks about the significance of living in Eretz Yisrael. So he says he heard that the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael is only if you improve the economy, if you work the land, if you have security, if you do something in Eretz Yisrael, Yishuv Haaretz, not Yeshivas Haaretz, it brings it right to that. that we have a practice when we write get, so you have to write the name of the city where the get is written. And you have a lot of cities have the same name. I'm sure in every state in the United States there's a Newark and there's a New York and there's a Philadelphia. Every one of the states has a Philadelphia. So you have to write, so we would write New York, New York, or Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Instead of Philadelphia, Minnesota, we write Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. So in the days of the Gemara, they would write New York, Masa Diyas Kef Nahara, Kef Yama Baal Nahar Hudson. We write, that's how we write in the Gittin, in New York. The New York is a city, which is located on the ocean, and it has, it's next to the Hudson River. So in the days of the Gemara, that's how they would identify cities. Which river is it next to, which lake, which ocean, and so on. So he quotes Rabbi Yosef Egel in number 11, he quotes from the Poskim, you only write Masa Diyasva, Akef Yama, if there's a shaychas between the river. If the people in the city use the water in the river for washing their clothing, or for cooking purposes or something. But if they just happen to be located next to the river, and they don't use the water of the river at all, that's not called Masa Diyasva. Yasa means if there's a shaychas and there's a relationship. So here also the mitzvah of yeshiva, yeshiva Eretz Yisrael, it's not yeshiva bit Eretz Yisrael. Yeshiva Eretz means there has to be some relationship between the person, and Eretz Yisrael has to improve the economy or improve the land or improve the security. If he just lives in Eretz Yisrael off of the money that comes from Chutz Laretz, he's not really in fulfillment of the mitzvah of yeshiva Eretz Yisrael. So again, back again. So the Yavne Nezer rejects this Megillah. Says the Megillah says they came to defend the Rambam. Why the Rambam didn't include this mitzvah in the 613 mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael? So he says it's a mitzvah she'en in the Haggis Ledoros because of the Shalosh Shvuos. The Bizman Hazeh doesn't apply. So I mean, he makes fun of it. He says the Rambam includes all the mitzvahs that have to do with the Beis Hamikdash. We don't have any Beis Hamikdash now. So that's not called mitzvah she'en in the Haggis Ledoros. In theory, the mitzvah applies in all the generations whenever you'll have a Beis Hamikdash. As Moshiach that Kumin will rebuild the Beis Hamikdash, all of those dinim will apply again. So that is a mitzvah in the Haggis Ledoros. The Rambam includes all the dinim of Hafroshes, Trumas, and Maises. The Rambam is the one who says that today Trumas and Maises is only Midirabbanan. When you'll have all the Jews living in Eretz Yisrael, then you'll have Trumas and Maises will be Minatara. Today it's only Midirabbanan. So that's not called a mitzvah Shein in the Haggis Ledoros because there are certain conditions that are not fulfilled today. So here also, what is the Megillah Esther talking about? Because even if Naniach that there is the Shalosh Shvuos that you're not allowed to establish a Jewish Medina, so what? But the Megillah Esther himself admits that when Mashiach will come, so then we will have to establish a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael. So he says, so that's called the mitzvah Hanahegas Lidor. Says the whole argument of the Megillah Esther is incorrect. Truth of the matter is, Megillah Esther totally misunderstood what the Rambam was talking about. Megillah Esther thought, what is the mitzvah that the Ramban claims the Rambam forgot to count? He mixed up two different kasha mitman over here, the two different things. He thought that the Ramban is saying there's a mitzvah to establish a Jewish Medina. And that's what everybody goes along with that mistake on Megillah Esther. After Hakamas HaMedina in 1948, so everybody says, Hashgacha min HaShemayim has paskin like the Ramban. It's a mitzvah to establish a Medina. The Rambam also quotes that mitzvah to establish a Medina. That's not under dispute. The Rambam in the beginning of Hilchas Melachim quotes a Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Chaf and Beis Gimel Mitzvahs Mitztava Yisrael Bichnisasim La'aretz. The Jewish people became obligated. You have a Chavis HaYochid. Sometimes you have a Chavis HaTzibur. So the Rambam quotes a Gemara in Sanhedrin a Braisa Gimel Mitzvahs Mitztava Yisrael Bichnisasim La'aretz. The Jewish people became obligated to observe three mitzvahs in the following order. Number one, Lahamed Lahamelech, to establish a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael. The Rambam counts that mitzvah. Number two, Lahachriz Arish al Amalek. If they have a Jewish government, they have a Jewish army, so the army has to wipe out Amalek. And number three, Livnes Lahem Beis HaBchira. If they wipe out Amalek and it says it will be peaceful in Eretz Yisrael, then you have an obligation to build a Beis HaMikdash. Kozman, that is not peaceful. We no longer have the obligation to build a Beis HaMikdash. That's what they were tumbling after 1967. And they conquered the Harabayas, so there were people who were tumbling at that time. You have to build a Mizbeach, and you have to start bringing Korbanos. So Rav Soloveitchik said, there's no peace yet. Everything is still shaky. And the Gemara says that prerequisite to have the obligation to build a Beis HaMikdash is, but it's going to be peaceful in Eretz Yisrael. It's not yet peaceful at that time. Unfortunately, now it's even worse. It's not peaceful at all now. So the truth of the matter is that that mitzvah to establish a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael, the Rambam did count that. The Ramban is asking the Rambam should have counted the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael. Tavos Hakta Shainik, the Megillah Esther says, the mitzvah to establish a government doesn't apply b'zman hazeh because of the Sholosh Shvuos. The Minkacha was opposed to establishing a Jewish government, anti-Zionist, but he wasn't opposed to moving to Eretz Yisrael. Everyone should move to Eretz Yisrael. Mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. What has got to do with the mitzvah to establish a Medina? They're two different things. The mitzvah to establish a Medina, the Megillah Esther claims, is a mitzvah shein and the Haggis Lederis because the Sholosh Shvuos preclude us from fulfilling the mitzvah today. The Avnei Nezer said that that doesn't qualify as a mitzvah shein and the Haggis Lederis. It's a mitzvah Lederis. It's not a Hirashah. We can't fulfill a mitzvah b'zman hazeh, even Naniach like that. But the Ramban is saying a different mitzvah, to live in Eretz Yisrael. So why is that in the Haggis Lederis? That applies even b'zman hazeh. So Taka, why didn't the Rambam count it? That's a good question. Why didn't the Rambam count this mitzvah? So different suggestions are given. So in the Sefer Knesses Hagdoyla is a likut of all of the Achrayim on the tour. We have the Beis Yosef by Rabbi Yosef Kara, lived in the 1500s in Tzfat. So he has a likut of all the Rishonim and Achrayim until his time. And then after the Beis Yosef, so the more Svarim were written. So the Knesses Hagdoyla is a likut of the later Achrayim. And then you have the Chidor lived in the 1700s. So he wrote the Birkei Yosef is a likut of those Achrayim who wrote after the Knesses Hagdoyla. Every generation they keep on putting out likutim of all the Achrayim. So in the Knesses Hagdoyla, he quotes some of the Achrayim who suggest that the reason why the Rambam didn't count the mitzvahs is because the Rambam postulates as one of his klolim, you only include mitzvahs that are min haTorah. So the Rambam is of the opinion that this mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael is only min haRabbanan. The Mishnah in the end, the Ksubis is a din. The Rambam quotes all the dinim, you have to live in Eretz Yisrael. But the Rambam thinks it's only min haRabbanan. There is a sefer that was written in the 1700s. In the 1700s, the Jews started writing encyclopedias, alphabetically arranged. I think the first halachic encyclopedia was the Pachad Yitzchak by Rabbi Yitzchak Lamprenti from Italy. Then you have others. The Chidor wrote quite a few encyclopedias. So in that generation, that one of the members of the Al-Ghazi family from Eretz Yisrael wrote a sefer Ara de Rabbanon. So the whole sefer is short paragraphs, alphabetically arranged, which dinam are deraisa, which dinam are derabbanon. On the Aleph, let's say, Asmachta lo kanya. Is that a din deraisa, a din derabbanon? Every din. Ein breri, yesh breri. Is it a din deraisa, a din derabbanon? Every single din. So he quotes all the opinions, but there's something, everything is one short paragraph, and finish. He gives you the marmakam. So on the Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, he quotes the Knesset HaGdoyla. The Ramban says that to live in Eretz Yisrael is a mitzvah min haTorah, and the Knesset HaGdoyla gives the official defense of the Rambam that the reason why he didn't count the mitzvah is because it's only a mitzvah mid Rabban. Avraham Avinu was given a Hara Shua, and the din that we have to live in Eretz Yisrael is only mid Rabban. Most of the Achrayim do not accept that Knesset HaGdoyla. They think that the Rambam also agrees that it's a mitzvah min haTorah to live in Eretz Yisrael b'zman hazeh, but they give different reasons why the Rambam didn't count. There are many, many Svarim written commentaries on the Sefer HaMitzvahs. They all have fascinating things to say about everything, about the whole Sefer HaMitzvahs. So there are three popular explanations as to why the Rambam didn't count the mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael as an independent mitzvah. He holds that it's subsumed under some other mitzvah. Which other mitzvah is it subsumed under? So the Ramban, in his commentary Achumish, in a few places, claims that the Iker Mokum for Shmiras Kol HaMitzvahs is Eretz Yisrael. One of the sources he has on the Pasuk in Kriyashma, it says we should, if we will worship Avodah Zarah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will send us into Golos, V'charaf Hashem Echem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will get angry, send us into Golos, and even when we go into Golos, we should be careful to observe the mitzvahs of Tefillin and Mezuzah. Why? So Rashi in his commentary on Chumash quotes from the Sifrei, from the Tanoim. So when we'll come back to Eretz Yisrael, it shouldn't be new, we shouldn't be surprised. We should continue to observe Tefillin and Mezuzah and Chutz Loretz, Hatzivilach Tziyunim, so we shouldn't forget about all this. What do you mean? Tefillin and Mezuzah is a Chavis HaGuf, it's not a Chavis HaKarka, it's not an agricultural mitzvah, so what do you mean? We shouldn't forget what Tefillin and Mezuzah is all about. So the Ramban, so the Vilna Gaon thinks that it's a misprint in the Sifrei. Instead of Tefillin and Mezuzah, it should say Trumas HaMaisvis. We should observe Trumas and Maisis midirabban and Chutzlor, so we shouldn't forget what it's all about. But the Ramban had the reading the way it says in our editions, Tefillin and Mezuzah. The Ramban says the Ikar Makom for Shmiras Kol HaMitzvah, the Shabbos and Kashrus and Taras HaMishpacha and everything is really Eretz Yisrael. And we should, the fact that we have an obligation min HaTorah to observe Tefillin and Mezuzah and Chutzlor, it's min HaTorah, it's Hatzi V'lach Tziyunim, so that when we come back to Eretz Yisrael, they won't be like Yesh Me'ayin, we won't be stunned, we'll know what it's all about. So according to the Ramban, that the Ikar Makom of Shmiras Kol HaMitzvah is Eretz Yisrael, so you can say the reason why the Rambam didn't count as an independent mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael, because living in Eretz Yisrael is a prat that enhances all of the 613 mitzvahs. Shabbos in Eretz Yisrael is more of a kiyum. Tefillah in Eretz Yisrael is more of a kiyum. Sukkah in Eretz Yisrael is more of a sukkah for sure. Bayasa, it never makes sense when we sit in sukkah, it's always raining. And Eretz Yisrael is a normal, that season of the year, we understand why we sit in sukkah. I remember a few years ago I happened to be in Eretz Yisrael for sukkahs. So we observed Yom Tov Sheni. So the second we were in someone's apartment, a distant relative of ours wasn't going there, so he gave his permission. Rabbi Green from Canada, he gave his permission to use his apartment. So the phone is ringing and ringing. The second day after, the phone is ringing. We didn't answer the phone. So after half an hour, someone comes and rings the bell. So we answered the door. We went to the door. So they say, "Oh, you're home. How come you didn't answer the phone?" So we said, "It's Yom Tov Sheni." Oh, they didn't realize. So they have a shayla. The Kerem Yavne is having their annual dinner that night, and they expect it to rain, so they want to know, is it okay if they set up in the hotel, or do they have to set up in the sukkah? So I said, there are no rabbis in Eretz Yisrael. Why are they asking me? He said, no, but Eretz Yisrael never rains. So this is an American shayla. They need an American rabbi to paskin at the shayla. I said, you set up, if they expect it to pour, so you set up in the hotel. So that's what happened. They set up in the hotel, some of the people were upset, and by the time they walked into the sukkah, it was pouring already. The whole sukkah was sopping wet. There was nothing to discuss. So, the Ikar Makom for Shmira sukkah, for sure is in Eretz Yisrael. Makes more sense to sit in sukkah in Eretz Yisrael. It's a nice season of the year. So that's what many of the commentaries on the Sefer HaMitzvah say. The reason why the Rambam didn't count the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael as an independent mitzvah is not an independent mitzvah. Living in Eretz Yisrael enhances the mitzvah of Shabbos and Kashrus and Taras HaMishpacha and Ritzicha, everything. The Rambam holds all the mitzvahs make more sense in Eretz Yisrael. The mitzvah Seseh, the mitzvah Loi Seseh, everything makes more sense in Eretz Yisrael. So it's only a prat within the other, within each one of the 613 mitzvahs. It doesn't exist as an independent mitzvah. Others write slightly differently. That's on the assumption that the Rambam agrees with the Ramban. Verzok, the Rambam agrees with this, the famous Chiddush of the Ramban. So others say, the Rambam counted the mitzvah of Ovosidbok. We should try to be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How does one become close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So Eretz Yisrael is with his Hashras Hashkineh. Eretz Yisrael is more Hashgacha Prata, Sein Hashem Uchecha Bo, Mireshes Hashana Alach Rishona. So there is a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael, but it's subsumed under the mitzvah of Avos Sidbok. That's a way to fulfill Avos Sidbok. Davnei Neza has an Eluyish. Davnei Neza is always Charifis, always Eluyish, always Eluyish. So Davnei Neza writes in number 10 of the Marmah Kermis, Ois Vav. In Ois Dalet, he disagrees with the Megillah Esther. He says that's not called the Hirash. If the din to establish a Jewish government will exist again as Mashiach Bet Kumen, so it's a din l'dor, same as Trumas and Maisis. Basically, he rejects totally what the Megillah says. This says, and Ois Vav in that long tshuva, he says, Ateretz Anochan, he quotes, there's a Sefer Mayon HaChochma. Mayon HaChochma is one of the many, many commentaries on the Sefer Mitzvah. About 50, 60 good Svarim. Every year they put out another Sefer, wonderful Svarim on Sefer Mitzvahs. So Mayon HaChochma postulates a cloud that explains a few things in the Rambam. The Rambam doesn't count kefil mitzvah. The same mitzvah appears several times. The Rambam writes in Shorish Tes, you don't count it several times. The Gemara says that the one who doesn't wear tefillin is mevatel four mitzvahs on the shol yad and four mitzvahs on the shol rosh, because it says four times that you have to put on tefillin shol yad and tefillin shol, each one of the dal parshias. And the kohen who doesn't duchen is mevatel three mitzvahs, kosev orchu, amor lahem, v'samar shmi. So the Rambam says that's only for emphasis. You only count it as one mitzvah to do. You don't count it as three mitzvahs. Whenever you have a kefil mitzvah, that's only counted once and it's repeated for emphasis. So the Mayimah Chachmah has another step in this. What if you have two clearly distinct mitzvahs, but one mitzvah is for the purpose of leading up to another mitzvah? So that's the same mitzvah twice, so you don't count it twice. And he explains one Rambam with that. So the Avnei Nezer says, this explains over here. The Rambam counts one of the mitzvahs in the Torah, Hachreim Tachrimim. We have to wipe out the Zayinumas. So imagine, the Jew, Yeshua ben Nun has to have an army to wipe out the Zayinumas, then we're going to move back to Barapak. After we wipe out the Zionists, we'll move back to America. It doesn't make any sense. Hachrim Tachrimim is you wipe out the Zionists, so you should be able to live in Eretz Yisrael. So it's like counting the same mitzvah twice. If one mitzvah leads up to another mitzvah, so you don't count both mitzvahs, you count either the first one or the second one, you don't count both. That's a suggestion of that in the Nezer. But the overwhelming majority of the poskim assume, not like the Knesset Sagdol, that the reason why the Rambam didn't count the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael is not because he thinks that it's only midirabbanan. No, he agrees that it's midatorah, but for some reason or another, it's already included in some other mitzvah. In number 8 of the Mar Mekudmos, this is the middle of a long Pesach Tshuva, so this is the second half. Umnan Ken Tzorach Betchila Tanai Echad, he speaks about this mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael. Says the mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael is only if the person will be able to make a parnos. If the person lives in America, machta parnos, will go to Eretz Yisrael and have to live off of charity. So he said, does a nishkin mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael? Like we had before from the Avnei Nezer, from Rabbi Yosef Engel, the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael to improve the life in Eretz Yisrael, to do something, to improve the land, just to sit in Eretz Yisrael and to live off of charity, does a nishkin mitzvah. And the Gemara says that the mitzvah to live, it's really the Gemara. Gemara said the mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael is only if it's under normal conditions. Let's say there's a famine in Eretz Yisrael, and living is extremely uncomfortable. So Gemara says, strictly speaking, you're permitted to go to Chutz Lo'aretz. The Gemara says that the story Megillas Rus starts off, Elimelech and his wife were Ephrosim. So Rashi writes, they were Anoshim Chashuvim. They were respected in the community. It says, Vahiro Boris, there was a famine, and they went to Chutz Lo'aretz. So the Gemara says in Baba Basra, the Rambam quotes it in the end of Hilchos Malachim, Meikarad Din, they were permitted to leave the Chutz Lo'aretz because there was a famine, and the conditions of living were extremely uncomfortable, so you're allowed to leave. But because they were Anoshim Chashuvim, we have a Klal Odom Chashuv Shaini. The Gemara has it in quite a few places. Odom Chashuv has to be Machmir. Because everybody looks up to the Adam Chashev, so if the Adam Chashev is going to be Mekel, everybody assumes we can do 10 Madregas lower than the Rabbi. The Rabbi has to be more medactic than everybody else, because the Balabatim are going to assume that they're not Mechuyev to live up to everything. The Rabbi does 10 Madregas lower is good. So the Rambam quotes from the Gemara that Elimelech was punished. He died and the children died and the whole tragedy, the whole family died because they weren't supposed to leave Eretz Yisrael. Even though it was a famine and the Hamayna Meili, but the Adam Chashev shouldn't have left. Adam Chashev Shem. So the Gemara has also, you're permitted to leave Eretz Yisrael. Lil Matar Belisa Yisha. Let's say, there's so many yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael. Every other corner, there's another kola, there's another yeshiva. The guy falls along, he wants to learn Dafke and Wayu. I have a student in my class. His family lives in Beit Shemesh. He wants to learn Dafke and Wayu. That people who come from Eretz Yisrael to learn the Lakewood, to learn wherever in America. So even though there's so many yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael, but if the person made up his mind he's not going to be happy unless he comes to this yeshiva, so you're not mechuyev to live in Eretz Yisrael if life is going to be uncomfortable. Even though that's your choice, I fell in love with a girl and she lives in America and she doesn't want to move to Eretz Yisrael. So you tell me I have to be heartbroken. I should go to Eretz Yisrael and fall out of love with her, fall in love with someone else. So Marzen Nish mechuyev. Lil Matar Valesa Isha, you're permitted to go to Chutz Lo'aretz. Means if you have a choice, if all other things are equal, you have a choice either to choose to live in Eretz Yisrael, to live in Chutz Lo'aretz, and it's a reasonable choice, so you should choose to live in Eretz Yisrael. But if it's unreasonable because there's a famine or there's no parnasa, or Lil Matar Valesa Isha, so then the choice is unreasonable, then you're not mechuyev. Remember about 20 years ago, I was speaking in Los Angeles, and it was at this intercession. And then I was on an LL plane to go. It was going to stop in New York. My wife was going to come on, and I was going to go to Eretz Yisrael to visit the various yeshivas for YU. So as the plane is sitting there in the airport, so I see somebody go from the front section. I was in the economy section. The guy comes from the front section all the way to use the men's room in the back, and he looked so familiar. So he looked like, I remember him from the yeshiva. I didn't remember his name. And then he comes back. So I saw him. So he was wearing jeans, and he was wearing sneakers. He didn't have any socks on. So I didn't remember who he was. As he's coming back from the men's room, he said, "Hi, Rabbi, Shalom Aleichem." He was in my shiur 20 years earlier. 40 years ago, he was in my shiur. So I said, "What do you do for a living?" He tells me he's a doctor. He reads x-rays. What do you call him?
Radiologist.
I said, "Where do you live?" So he used to live somewhere near Los Angeles, and he used to make so much money, $2 million a year, some exaggerated amount of money. And he decided he's moving to Eretz, moved to Eretz with his wife and his children, and he lives in Savion. That's one of the poorer neighborhoods in Eretz Yisrael. He only makes $500,000 a year. His wife cannot get used to living in poverty. So I was gonna stick my hand in my pocket, give him a $20 bill. He doesn't have money, he can't afford socks. Has to go in sneakers without socks and the jeans. He says he's going to have to move back to America. His wife can't get used to living in poverty. Has to be within reason. Has to be within reason. It means if you don't make a parnasa in Eretz, he's going to be unhappy. Hot tanish can break. Look, if his wife is unhappy, has no bread, has to go back to America. But whenever it's unreasonable to live in Eretz, you're not mechuyev to. There is an interesting tshuva in the Maharam Shik. Maharam Shik was a Talmud of the Chasam Sofer. He lived in the end of the 1800s in Hungary. And they were all fighting reform there. So there was one of his Talmidim of the Maharam Shik was fighting reform. That's what they were all doing, fighting reform. And he didn't enjoy it. And he was offered a position of Rabbanus in Eretz Yisrael to go move to Eretz Yisrael and learn and Paskin Shailas and no more fighting reform. So he was so excited. Baruch Hashem, that's what I'd love that. So he was all packing up his bag and he was ready to go. So he sent a letter to his Rebbe. He wants a bracha on the move. So the Maharam Shik sends him back a letter. "I can't give you a bracha. I think you're doing Shaloi Kedin. You're not allowed to leave." And he printed the letter is included in the Shadows of Tshuvas in Chelek Yeridei, the section about Hilchas Eretz Yisrael. So he writes, "When you learned in the yeshiva, we had no right to drift you into the Rabbanus. Many of the boys went into business. They didn't all go into Rabbanus. You volunteered to go into Rabbanus and you're very successful. And you're fighting reform. You're not permitted to leave. You have to continue fighting reform even though you don't enjoy it." And he tells over the story. The only source for this story is in that tshuva of the Maharam Shik. He says his Rebbe, the Chasam Sofer, was born and brought up in Frankfurt. He was a Yekke. He wasn't a Rungarish. And he always signs his letters. Moshe HaKotel me Frankfurt. The Chasam Sofer always signs. And he always wanted to go back to Frankfurt. He always wanted to move. Very strange, the whole story is very strange. Chasam Sofer left home from Nasna by his bar mitzvah. He said his own original pshetl. And his pshetl was, the Chasam Sofer pshetl was, he disagreed with what his Elta Zeta wrote in the Sefer Kos Yeshuas. Kos Yeshuas has Sefer on Ezekiel. So he quoted something from the Elta Zeta and he disagreed. So his father, the Chasam Sofer, his father was a religious balabas, wasn't that learned. So he thought, what is he? Chatzuf, a little pish, only 13 years old. He disagrees with Delta Zeta. So he slapped him in public. Shegetz, how do you have the right to say chutzpah to disagree? Rav Nosson Adler was there, so he said, "Why did you slap your son? The kid is right and Delta Zeta is wrong." So he told the little child, the Rebbe told Rav Nosson Chasam Sofer as a child, he should leave his father's home. He's going to stay by your father. Whenever you'll ask Ashvera Rashi, he's going to slap you up the curves. And ask Ashvera Taisus, Ashvera Rama, Ashvera Gemara, he's going to slap you every time. He won't let you. That's how you develop. You have to ask with chutzpah. It doesn't make sense. That's kachi darkei shel Torah. You have to ask. So the Chasam Sofer left his father's home. He moved in by the Rebbe. The Rebbe had a daughter, but it wasn't his age. He didn't marry the Rebbe's daughter. He moved out of his parents' home. It's a strange parsha in history. Then the father passed away. So for years and years and years, his mother was alive. He never went back to Frankfurt. But Nazach, he writes in the tshuva why. Because he was, from the day he was bar mitzvah, I think, or from younger, he always davened tefillah b'tzibur. So if he would go back to Frankfurt, it would take a while. He didn't go by airplane. And he would have to take 10 people, he'd have to take 9 people with him to daven tefillah b'tzibur. He didn't want to be matriarch, 9 people to go. So he never visited, he stayed away from his father. From the age of 13, and then the mother, he never went back because it was makbid on tefillah b'tzibur. Very, very strange. The whole story is very strange. Anyway, but Chassam Sofer was always chalashing to move back to Frankfurt. He was a Yek, he wanted to go back to Frankfurt. But he didn't have the opportunity. So on one occasion, when the Rabbanus became available in Frankfurt, so they invited him. He should take over the Rabbanus. So he was planning to leave Pressburg. He was going to go back to Frankfurt. So when the Balabatim heard about it, they all came, the representatives of the Kila and Pressburg came, and they pleaded with him. Rebbe, who's going to fight reform? We're going to lose over here. If you're going to leave, you're successful now in fighting reform. If you're going to leave, we're going to lose. And they kept on crying, we need you here. You can't leave. You have no right to leave. So even though he was heartbroken, he really wanted to go back to Frankfurt, he stayed there. So that's what the Maram Shik writes to this Talmud. Just like the Chassam Sofer wanted to move back to Frankfurt, and he didn't because he felt his meshuvit to continue fighting reform, so too you. And he gives the mashal. Rav Soloveitchik used to say this mashal years ago. The Rav used to say, whoever is in Chinuch or Rabbanus in America is not allowed to go on Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael because we're all fighting reform and we're fighting assimilation. And if you're going to leave the Rabbanus, you're going to leave Chinuch. So it's going to make a churban. And he used to say that the general is not allowed to leave until everything is secure. And the captain of the ship is not allowed to leave until all the passengers are secure. So I used to wonder, what is he crazy? What's Hakta China? The general with the captain, that's exactly word for word what the Maram Shik writes. I don't think Rav Soloveitchik saw it in the Maram Shik. I don't think he ever looked in the Chuvah's Maram Shik. But that's the lotion that he uses. The general is not allowed to leave until he knows that he won the war. And the captain of the ship is not allowed to leave. And that's the Chuvah of the Maram Shik that Rav Chaim Oizer quoted to Rav Kook in number 9 of the Maram Mekaymus. This was a famous parsha. Rav Kook was already the chief rabbi of Eretz Yisrael. First he moved from Europe to be the Rav in Yafo. And then later on he was appointed chief rabbi, he moved to Yerushalayim. So he was corresponding with Rav Chaim Oizer, who lived in Vilna, that he should come to Eretz Yisrael. And Rav Chaim Oizer agreed. He always wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael. So Rav Kook had planned to rent a home for him. And he was going to give him a parnasa. He's going to have the title. I'm the chief rabbi of Eretz Yisrael. Going to call him Reish Golusa. His title is going to be officially Reish Kol B'nei HaGoyla. That was going to be the title of Rav Chaim Oizer. And he was going to have a parnasa. The people were going to support him. He was going to have a home. Everything was all ready. Then the last minute, Rav Chaim Oizer backed out. And he sends the letter. They have this in the collection of letters. And in case you don't believe that it's true, so they printed the facsimile of the handwritten letter with Rav Chaim Oizer's signature on the bottom of this letter. They didn't print all the other letters, but this one they felt compelled to print. The people may think that it's a Baba Mice. So he writes in the letter, he's chalashing to go to Eretz Yisrael, but the Rabbanim say that he's still needed there in Vilna, and if he leaves Vilna, things will fall apart. He used to be in charge of the Vadi Yeshivas and all its dukkas and billions of dollars used to go through his hands, and he used to distribute all the money. So he refers you to this tshuva, to the two tshuvas of the Maharam Shik, Simei Reish Chafei, Simei Reish Chavav, Reish Chavzayin, the three tshuvas, one after the other. And he says he feels that he's not permitted to move to Eretz Yisrael, that since he's still needed in the Chutz Laretz, you only go to Eretz Yisrael, the obligation to move to Eretz Yisrael is when all things are equal and it's within reason that you go. If it's unreasonable, he has a panasa here, there he's going to leave off of charity, or he won't be able to lum terribly, see, she's going to be heartbroken. His wife doesn't want to go, the girlfriend that he wants to marry doesn't want to go, and so on. So if it's unreasonable, so there's no chiv. But whenever it is reasonable, whenever a person can, if he can make $500,000 a year, he's a good fella, live in Savion. So if it's reasonable, look, if his wife doesn't want, he has no prayer. But whenever it's reasonable, so there really is a din l'doris, even mizman hazeh, that we have an obligation to live in Eretz Yisrael. And the terutzim that the Tosfos quotes from Rav Chaim Kayin, that the stakonas drachim, and it's a difficulty to observe the mitzvah klis ba'aretz. So that's what the Abnei Nezer writes, that the two terutzim don't apply this manazah. Thank you very much.